everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Look at this photograph. Tickets to Jaguars games coming with mustache and bandana now. The Minshew Mania mini pack. But why stop at mini? Let's go full package. Crown Royal in the jorts, Liger Mane jockstrap, Beowulf, original print in Old English. Woo!
Why not?
Naeem.
Justin Nickelback.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's a lie.
I have no idea what you're talking about. There's no transcript on that.
Get the lawyer.
Rams, Seahawks, Thursday Night Football. How Seattle brings it all home tonight and how L.A. responds after the 55-40 loss to Tampa Bay. Start with the Rams, Tim Kalishaw. Besides everything, what does L.A. need to do different tonight to make you think they are who they were?
We need to see if they have any belief left at all in Todd Gurley. And I know teams talk about balance, and nobody's really balanced in this era. But 173 passes so far for Goff, 49 runs for Gurley, and yet he's averaging 4.5 yards per carry. So the thought that, oh, he's done, he's not the same guy, we really haven't seen that. He's been okay, but they just haven't used him much. And after what they went through last week, on top of the fact that you'd like to keep Seattle's offense on the sideline because the Rams just gave up 55 points. You need to run the ball. You need to run some clock. They need to be a little bit more balanced and a little bit more trusting and girly. Mm-hmm.
Frank Isola?
I know that throwing 68 times is probably not the way to go like Jared Goff did on Sunday, and I know for a fact that 4 turnovers is not going to get it done. Getting Todd Gurley involved is important. But on the other side of the ball, you know, the last touchdown that Tampa Bay scored, that was a defensive touchdown. But when you look at that Rams defense and Aaron Donald, here's a guy that a lot of people consider, you know, the best defensive player in the league. He only has 1 sack. I get it. He's being doubled and triple teamed. But defensively, for a team that was in the Super Bowl not that long ago, just not good enough. By the way, Tony, he has 10 sacks against Russell Wilson. Maybe now's the week or the night to start get going.
Clinton Yates.
Yeah, Aaron Donald is the guy who's dominated the Seahawks from a defensive line standpoint for the Rams, so getting him going as well. But let's also not forget about that run defense. They've given up more than 450 yards on the ground to the Seahawks in the last 2 games. If that continues, they're going to have huge problems. The Gurley factor aside, they didn't get him involved until like the 15th play or whatever it was. If the Seattle Seahawks can run the ball down the Rams' throat the way they have most recently, this game is not going to even be close, especially not on a short week at home.
Woody Page.
I want to join Tim and talk about the offense. And Goff, he is leading the league in pressures against, 64. Why is that happening? Because the play action is not working at all. So that means 2 things. One, you do have to get Gurley more involved, as I said yesterday, Tim, if you'd watch the show, that he's not getting the touches that he got.
You tell him. You tell him, Woody.
And the next part of it is Goff is not doing a good job of disguising. If you look at the tapes of last week, he's not disguising the play action well. And he's not getting outside. He's not getting out of the pocket. So he is just standing there. Yeah, you can throw 60 times in a game. But if you don't have, as Tim talked about, some kind of balance where you're actually getting Gurley and other running backs involved, it's not going to work for them in Seattle.
Okay. Woody Page, you said before we sat down, you think this game's bigger for the Seahawks. You want to expound on that?
Oh, sure. You're playing at home on Thursday night. You've already lost a home game to the Saints a couple of weeks ago, and you've got to be in a situation where you knock off the Rams, because we're going to get that the Rams will put it together during the course of the season. I still think they're going to win 12 games. That conference really has become very difficult, given that the 49ers are involved now. So you're not in the position to lose again at home, to lose against the Rams, and lose the division game. This is a lot more important to Seattle than
everybody agree with that, Kalashaw? I know you don't watch the show when you're not on, but do you agree with that?
I know it's a big game for everyone. Woody's apparently been talking about it for 2 days. I would say it's bigger for Seattle as well because of their record against the Rams. And you really should win home games on Thursday nights. That's the hardest thing to do is travel, so they should win that.
But I think this about the Rams, though. Yes, the result they want. They want to win. But I think for Sean McVay, you know, he's the boy genius. I think he's looking for his team to play a lot better on both sides of the ball. When you look at the way that Russell Wilson is playing, he's off to the best start of his career. So Seattle needs it. I think for L.A., it's about playing better, getting Todd Gurley involved, because right now it's just not good enough.
Yeah, Seattle needs it for different reasons. I mean, Pete Carroll himself said he thinks that this is actually Russell Wilson's best performance as a quarterback so far. If they're going to believe that they are actually the team that they want to be, this is the one you got to prove, and you got to prove it.
Thursday night, home teams. Everybody, you guys have Seattle tonight? I know Tim is leaning in that direction. Yes. Isola, Yates,
Seattle.
Woody Page.
Yes, Seahawks.
Sweet, sweet. Yeah. We'll move on.
We'll all be wrong.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan says they have no plans to trade Jalen Ramsey. I have two questions. Frank, you could start us off. One, is that the right strategy from the team? And B, from Ramsey's perspective, seeing him on the sidelines last week, seeing the team win and be as much fun as they've been, should Ramsey reconsider his demand?
Well, I think Ramsey should, because I agree with the owner here. First of all, he's a tremendous player. They have a chance to be a playoff team. You know, if you go back to that first loss that they had, that was to Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. I like the fact that they won on the road in Denver. They can be a playoff team, and you just can't have guys knocking on the door and saying, I want to be traded, and then you just drop everything you're doing and trade him. He's under contract. They need him out there. He should just say, you know what, I'm going to play out this season with the Jaguars. Get out there and play.
Clint Yates?
Yeah, but the reason you don't want to have guys doing that is not because of any sort of, you know, academic one. It's because you might actually be a good football team. 2 weeks ago, I told you all, the best strategy was to just convince him to stay. And if this Minshew situation is one that has allowed him to do so, then maybe that's going to pay off. He's sitting there watching on the sidelines. At least he's not out doing nothing else completely. He's involved on some level. I don't mind the strategy from the Jags whatsoever, and I think it might
work. You saw the Jaguars firsthand last week. What do you think of their strategy, and what do you think of
Ramsey? And I also, in addition to watching that, I watched Clinton Yates that day talk about that, and I totally agree with him that he needs to stay there. And I think the owner should have, in his conversation, say, hey, let's start talking about a contract for long term. As the next aspect of it is that, yes, he needs to. I've been watching him on Sunday. You could see that he was fully involved. He was talking to his replacement. He was cheerleading. People don't want him cheerleading. But I felt like that when he flew from Nashville after the kid was born back to Jacksonville
and flew out
with the team, that he hasn't disassociated himself from the team. And in fact, before the game, he did try to practice. So I think he's back involved with them and is going to play this game.
What is so fully involved about Jalen Ramsey being at games healthy and not playing? I think that's the strangest thing, and it's got to be bad for his teammates. They're coming off the field. They're hurt. They're sweaty. They're tired. And there's Jalen standing over here fully involved like Woody says he is. That doesn't do any good. If they really got an offer of two ones, I would take that offer, because your only alternative is to make him the highest paid player on your team next year. They don't seem willing to do that.
Woody, I feel like you say a lot of things before we sit down, but you said before we sit down, the Jags leaning into Minshew, the ticket package, the mustache, the bandana, that's not a good thing. It sounds right up your alley, though. Do you not like fun?
I just think it's premature, having gone through Tebow mania. Let the kid play. Why do you want to get more things going on? You brought in Uncle Rico. I mean, what is it
ESPN doing? That was your network, Woody Page, that did that. Clinton Yates, the whole Minshew mania.
Woody, the guy was the player of the month. You've got the alliterative name going. You've got all of this happening. Are you kidding me? What else is Jacksonville got happening for that team that they can't find a way to make Minshew the best thing they've got? Come on. This is awesome. Look look at the wires. I love this so much.
All right. We'll move on. Baseball.
That's why they got to play games in London.
National Dodgers tonight. Glenn Yates, you're in Los Angeles. You're here for this series. Because Scherzer and Strasburg had to go Tuesday night, it's Corbin for Washington. And because Dave Roberts wants Walker Buehler as a first impression and a last impression, should it go to Game 5, it's Buehler over Clayton Kershaw and Ryu. Clinton, the weight of expectation with this Dodgers team and making the World Series again versus the exorcism the Nats just performed two nights ago. What do you think will cast a larger shadow tonight?
I think it's definitely the Dodgers. Let's not forget they re-signed Dave Roberts because they cast a little confidence in him in terms of what they wanted. That was in question last year after they lost the World Series. And putting Walker Buehler in this spot, again, he had the best performance of the Dodgers last year in the World Series. It was fantastic. He got erased because it was an 18-inning game. The pressure is all on the Dodgers here. The Nats, look, they exercised what, you know, the demons you just referred to. But a lot of people still think they probably should have lost that game, and they're not necessarily going to go farther than that. Dodgers, big-time pressure starting at home
Woody
here.
Page,
you got a better baseball
what do you
game.
Think of Walker Buehler to start game one? You're all for it, too, right?
Oh, sure. You don't want Buehler to take this day off. You got Clayton Kershaw, who's had problems in the playoffs. He is a 9-10 in the postseason. His ERA is over 4. You want to save him for on the road, and if you pitch him in the third game, then you could bring him back as a reliever for Walker in the fifth game. So I think this strategy makes total sense. Walker was great in that playoff game or play-in game against the Rockies last year, and as Clinton pointed out, he was good in the next series. So why not?
Tim, are you with Walker Buehler in game one as well? We don't need to fully address that. You can just jump on the Dodgers here. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I do think the pressure's on the Dodgers for obvious reasons. You can't keep winning hundreds of games every year and getting that close to winning it and then not having won a World Series since 1988. I think the Buehler decision is fine. I think they have moved on from the Kershaw and a bunch of guys in the rotation era. They really did that a couple years ago, but we've always felt the pressure has always been on Clayton. He may not pitch till game three. They haven't said who's going to pitch game two, and they might go with Ryu because he's better at home.
Ryu is a Cy Young candidate. Kershaw is the greatest pitcher of his generation, and Buehler is their best pitcher on the team. I mean, that's what that's why they're a 100-win team. Isola, your view of this series as it begins tonight.
And that's why the theme for the Dodgers always going into the postseason was all about Clayton Kershaw. Now that they've made it to back-to-back World Series, it's about winning. And Dave Roberts gets paid money to make the tough calls. And right here, he's making the right call. It's not about Clayton Kershaw's ego. Everyone knows that he's a tremendous pitcher. It's about who gives you the best chance to win. And Walker Buehler in game one, possibly in game five, that's the right way to go.
He just missed the better chance to win. It's like Gallagher right now, 19. Yates, 18. Although, do I need to eliminate you now, Yates, so you can get to Dodgers Nationals on time? That's traffic.
I know how to get from one place to the other. I watched the California.
Woody Page with a Ferris Buehler reference. Not bad, Woody. You're so hip. And now, with a 30-year-old movie. We'll be back by ourselves
for the rest of the audience.
I loved it, though. I did.
What are you doing here?
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Late afternoon climatology. Woody Page, I'm not sure you had this one exactly right. The ball flying out early in Oakland, but only off the bats of Reyes, Diaz, Garcia. And it was famous original Rays over A's. And it was Tampa sticking it to the man, as Kevin Kiermaier said. Clinton, how did you see the lowest payroll in the sport advancing to the ALDS? And do you see it as sticking it to the man?
Not at all. We still think of Oakland as a Moneyball team. I'm not sure that I'm going so far as to call them the man, but I do appreciate the fact that the Rays got the ball out of the yard and got the ball out early, taking the crowd out of this game. It was incredible. The way Garcia hit that ball, I mean, 115 off the bat, exit velo. That, look, if once you see that and you're in the ballpark, yeah, I'd shut up too because I know my team.
Sounds like somebody was watching the StatCast last night. A++ from the StatCast crew. Great. Woody Page?
Well, the Weather Channel asked me if I'd make an appearance.
Yes.
But the Rays are so creative. I think they have a chance to have that puncher's chance we always talk about against the Astros because they're so creative. Did you see last night 4 outfielders at one time? Nobody on the third base side of second base at another time. Kevin Cash is just all over with his pitching staff. I think that made a difference. And they took the crowd out of the game. There's never a crowd in Oakland.
Tim Kalishaw?
I love the ingenuity of the manager. There's plenty to like about this Rays team. including all the different ways broadcasters say Avisail Garcia. But it's a lot different facing Sean Manaea, who threw 29 innings, and facing Verlander, Cole, and Greinke. The Astros.
No one's disputing that. What did you see from Tampa last night, Frank?
You know, it's a great story because here's a team that has to be in the same division with the Yankees and the Red Sox and all the money that they throw at these big stars. And here they are, one of the last eight teams standing. Tony, they do what your Little League coach used to tell you. Throw the ball, catch the ball, hit the ball. They keep it rather basic, and here they are with a chance to maybe be the story of October.
We'll move on. Cardinals, Braves, another story in October. The season split, 4 wins for Atlanta, 2 for St. Louis, but they haven't played since May. Woody, what do you see? Who has the advantage? What will be the deciding factor in the series?
Despite the injury situation with the Braves, with 3 players that have been out for a good part of the season, I'm going to go with the Braves. And you're going to not want to accept this, but altitude is a factor because they're going to hit a lot of home runs. You say, why is altitude a factor in Atlanta, Georgia? It's the second highest stadium in Major League Baseball. Altitude.
Okay. You know what? I think I knew that. I also know it's about 95 degrees in Atlanta right now. Tim Kalish, how about you?
Not totally sure on that last one, but I'm going to say this. I like the Braves, too. Keuchel, I think, is a good starter for the first game, but I think it's going to come down to their young power. And I think the people who haven't seen Ronald Acuna play a lot, they're going to watch him, and then they're going to watch him in the next round because they're going to beat the Cardinals.
Frank Gasola?
Dallas Keuchel, 3 career appearances against St. Louis. His ERA is over 10. They better win tonight because in game 2 you get Jack Flaherty. Good luck with that because he's been the best pitcher the second half of the season.
Glenn Yates.
You talk about young hitting. I mean, the last time the Braves won a series in the playoffs, this show was still considered a young hitter. If you got Freddie Freeman out with an elbow and Acuna, I'm just not sure that I'm going to trust that lineup. They need those guys too much. And I don't think
it's possible we were a twinkle in PTI's eye at that moment, honestly. I think it's 2001 the last time the Braves won a series. All right, buy or sell 3. Back to the NFL. Stephon Diggs right here to reporters. Listen to this.
Speculation and stuff that you might want to be traded.
Is along with rumors and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like there's truth to all rumors. You know, no matter how you dress it up.
Okay.
I won't be saying nothing on it. I won't be speaking on it at all.
He's not speaking on that, but he says there's truth to all rumors. Tim Kalisha, what do you hear there?
He's not speaking. I'll take him at his word. There. Are you kidding? He's the one who brought up. I mean, the guy, the
reporter?
Reporter didn't say.
Yes, reporter.
He wanted to get it out there. You mean like rumors? Like there's truth to all rumors? He was determined.
You think this is him asking for a trade? Or do you think this is him expecting a trade? You think this is him wanting out?
I think he and Adam Thielen are not thrilled with their quarterback, and that whole situation has become a
mess. Greg Isola?
It's a new thing in the NFL. Everyone is asking to be traded. There's also truth to the rumor that he started following a bunch of New England Patriots on Instagram. So
okay, there we go. Clinton Yates, how about you?
Excellent reporting here, Isola. But to me, this is the best line I've heard since Costanza's "It's not a lie if you believe it." I mean, his posture was awkward. He's got the hood on. I mean, sure, it might be true, but if you want it to be true, just say something.
What do you
pay? Hide behind a hood.
Well, when you got both those receivers realizing that the Vikings are so run dominated now and Cousins is not throwing the ball well, you can understand why, because there's more talk about trading heading into this deadline than I ever remember in the history of the NFL since I've been covering it. So I think he's just joining the bandwagon.
All right, Woody Page, you are off. Change of attitude, change of latitude, altitude. And Frank Isola as well. You can go watch who's following who on social media if you want. Clint Yates, Tim Kalisha, showdown next. Ha.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Yates, Kalisha, NHL preview extravaganza. You saw it get underway last night. Start at the beginning and leave nothing out. Clinton, who you got?
You see him right there, the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think the NHL cover boy, Austin Matthews, he got 2 goals against the Sens. He's going to be a big factor. Make or break here for Mike Babcock, but Frederick Anderson in the net is the reason why it's going to happen.
Love to see a Canadian team break through, but follow the money. The Vegas Golden Knights have been close twice. Yeah. This is their year as they take down Toronto in the Stanley
Go
Cup.
Go back
Cup.
If you're watching on DVR. There was a wince from Kalashaw when he heard Yates' final answer. That's how good it was. You're getting 3 points. Let's move on. Shout out to Alonzo, to Zion Alley-Oop. This was day two of Pelicans training camp. What does it mean, Timmy?
Oh, it means if New Orleans calls a timeout and gets the ball at midcourt, watch out for Zion. What? I don't know. What does it mean? It's a guy in a gym dunking. It's nothing. It's play.
It means that the Pelicans still think that this guy is some kind of a trick shot artist. Why don't you show me a mid-range jumper from
all
Zion?
Right, all right, the two of you, settle down. I get it. Rain on everybody's parade. We'll move on. Former NFL wide receiver Brandon Marshall wants to box. We know this because he's called out the entire heavyweight division. What are you doing with that information, Clint Yates?
He called out the entire heavyweight division except for my man Andy Ruiz Jr., who's the one that we like boxing on this program, until you want to face him in the ring. Forget who all these other guys are. Nobody's heard of him anyway.
About 40 years ago, Too Tall Jones briefly quit the Cowboys to go into boxing, won all six of his fights, quit, and said, I never met so many crummy people in all of my life, and went back to football. Get ready for that.
Good piece of information. You'll be in the plus, Tim Kalashaw, but the final score means Clinton Yates is today's champion.
I'd like to give some props to Ted Leonsis, only because he is finding himself in a position to be a sports betting magnate, sort of. They announced a deal today with a British sports book in order to try to bring, basically, gambling to what is the Capital One Arena in D.C. Now, here's the thing. The idea is an elevated experience where you can place wagers on games. We're not really sure how that's going to be regulated from a legislation standpoint, but I do have a concern about turning an arena into a casino, effectively. Gambling is an addiction for a lot of people, and until we can find a way to regulate and make sure that folks basically aren't just spending their time in these places in which we watch sports, throwing their money away effectively, we've got to make sure that we do this the right way. I get where Ted is coming from on this with Monumental Sports, but be careful with what you wish for overall in terms of spending sports betting in this country.
Well said, Clint. Thank you for sharing there what you wish for. Here's what we wish for now. We wish the best for our friend Michael Smith, Michael Anthony Smith. I love Michael Smith. Michael and I grew up on this here network, this here program at the same time. We've done countless shows together. What I love about Michael most is he knows himself, and Michael always, relentlessly, is willing to put in the work to grow. Can't wait to see what he does next at the Collaboratory. And remember that time when he thought he won a show, but didn't, and started his FaceTime? We love you, Michael!